for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 28th, 1985. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher of the morning.
Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word, that your word has been exalted above every name. And we thank you for the word of God. Again, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. The entrance of your word brings light. Quicken us according to your word again today, Lord. We humble our hearts and our spirits before you, Lord God. Without you, we can do nothing. We ask the teacher, the Holy Ghost, to come and teach to us today, Lord God. We submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus and to the power of the Holy Spirit and to the Father. And Lord, today in Jesus' name, we just pray that the Spirit will help us to minister effectively, Lord God. Give us utterance in the Holy Ghost. And move by your power and your victory, Lord God. We thank you for this people, Lord. We thank you for this campground. We thank you that your angels do watch over us, Lord, lest we dash our foot against the stone. We thank you for keeping us and protecting us, God. We plead the precious blood of Jesus now over this service and over our lives, Lord God, and our families in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're careful to give you the praise and glory for everything you've said and done, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him a minute. Praise the Lord God. 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 We praise Thee, Lord God. We wait upon Thee, Lord God. We wait in Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He lavahando bosita bahando bakato bosihita bahando bahaya. Oh, rabasida bakando bosida bakando basita bakando basihita bakando bahaya. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Amen. Think it not strange concerning the way that I have led thee. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that's come thy way. For I have allowed it, saith the Lord. And know that I am thy God. I am thy shield, and I am thy buckler. And yea, I shall keep thee as your eye is upon me and as you follow me. For this be a day that I, the Lord, shall build up my people. This be a day that I shall come in the midst of my people. So humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and know that He shall exalt thee in due time. But this be a day, my people, that thou art to follow close and near and nigh unto me, and I shall come near to thee, saith the Lord. And know that the days ahead are wicked, and their evil on the left hand and on the right hand. And even in thy nation I have seen the abomination, and I've seen the wickedness. But I also see a people, yea, that's destined to come into my image and my likeness, that are crying out unto me. Yea, there is a remnant, saith the Spirit, even in the land, that will not bow their knee to Baal, that will humble themselves and cry out unto me. And know that in this next year, there shall be great struggle and great strife and turmoil in the midst of the nation. And even in Washington, D.C., there shall come trouble. There shall come chaos. There shall come problems, but I, the Lord God, yea, am able to rebuke those things back as you seek my face. For I say, lift up the president of this land, lift up thy nation, lift up the people of God, yea, unto me, saith the Lord. For I'm able to deliver, I'm able to save, my hand is outstretched to them. Yea, look unto me, I am the author and the finisher of thy faith. Hallelujah. That's crazy, amen. Hallelujah. 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 There shall be assassinations in this next year throughout the world. But I say unto thee that I shall keep my people. Yea, I shall protect thee if thou shalt come close to me, saith the Lord. For my hand is upon thee. Yea, my judgments do come upon the earth. And I say it is time to draw near to thy God. For yea, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he is a mighty God. He is the warrior, saith the Lord. And yea, I say unto thee that thou shalt take the land, and thou shalt possess that which I've given unto thee. So look not behind thee, saith the Lord. Look not behind thee, but press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For there is a goal, there is a mark set before thee, and that is my Son. Yea, press towards him, and thou shalt be changed. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise him one more time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're able to keep us, Lord. You're able to keep us, my God. You're able, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we hold up also today the fivefold ministry. We hold up the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, the evangelists, Father. All over the world, whoever and wherever they are, Father. We ask the mighty power of God to overshadow them, God. We ask, Father, that you raise up new ministries, Lord. We pray, O God, that you'll do a mighty work in and through the hand ministry in this hour, Lord God. Help us to draw near and nigh to thee, Lord. Help us to be sanctified and be holy before you, Lord God. Cleanse us and wash us in your blood, Lord God. And make us a blessing to the body of Christ, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn to the New Testament. Praise the Lord. I had two messages only in time this morning, but the Lord, I don't think, will let me bring it, at least right now. We need what God says, though. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you how important it is to pray for the ministry. When I was going to come up this morning, I thought exactly what I was going to teach on was in time. But when Brother Miller laid his hands on me, God quickened another word to me. So that's where we're going. You know, before I minister, I like people to pray for me. I think it's good for the ministry to submit to others. And sometimes we think we know what we want to bring, but the Holy Spirit really knows. So we're flexible. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Everybody read it. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Let's read it again. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, the first thing we do is to follow after the love of God. But the word follow there does not mean just to tag along after something. The word follow means to press. I mean, Paul said, the prophecy brought out, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, how many know to press means you've got to overcome? You've got to go after Jesus. And that word is the same word there. It means to press after love or charity. It also means to pursue or to ensue. And it also means, if you look at it in the Greek, it represents persecution. And how many know when you really go after God, the persecution starts? Amen. Many times right in your own family, your own neighbor, or your neighbor, your church, or wherever. But follow after charity. Turn back to chapter 13 just a second. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. How many know we can do that? How many know it's important to pray in tongues? Now, the reason the church, we don't see the gifts in manifestation as we should many times, it's because God's people are not praying in the Spirit as they should. I mean, no, we need a real revelation of what it means to pray in tongues or in the Spirit. Amen? But Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, when you came to Jesus and was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible said that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? But here something has happened. He said, I am become what? Sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And we can see that in order to become that, you have fallen from that love of God that you've had in your heart. Amen? Turn to Revelation just a second. Chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, and look at verse 5 of 4. The Lord said to this church at Ephesus, and by the way, the Lord tells them their good points, He tells them their bad points, and then He tells them to repent. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. I wonder if he has something against us. Because, here's the reason, thou hast left thy first love. So we can fall from that love. We can leave that love, can't we? We can turn from it. Remember, therefore, and sometimes we forget so easy. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and what? Repent and do the first works, God said, or else I will come quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place except thou repent. And he did it. Hallelujah. And we know he can shut the light off right quick because of our rebellion. Turn back to 13th chapter of of Corinthians. So he's saying, if I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just a noisy gong, banging and clanging. But thank God, I'm glad today that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy. And we know with the gift of prophecy comes the fruit of goodness. And if you come into service and there's prophecy and it's destroying and tearing down, I can tell you the fruit of goodness is not in operation. Amen. And we know God's a builder up or not a tear down. Except those carnal things in our life. And those spirits that we don't need, we get rid of those. Amen. But God is out to build you up, isn't He? These gifts will build you up, stir you up, and they'll cheer you up. I mean, if you need healing and you get healed, what's going to happen? You got some joy working. Amen. You're stirred up. You're cheered up. You help somebody else. Hallelujah. Now, He said, though I speak with a tongue. Okay, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries. And we thank God for the mysteries. There are many mysteries in the Scriptures that we could go in and teach this morning. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith. That's that faith that removes mountains. We thank God for that. Amen? We thank God for the faith of Jesus that's in us. And so I can remove the mountains and have not love. I am nothing. Now, how many know if I exercise that faith and it touches you, you're blessed. But He said, I'm nothing. I may give you words of wisdom that will bless you, but I'm nothing without love. Amen? I may give you words of knowledge that will touch your heart and do something for you, but I'm nothing without the love of God. The motivating factor is the love of God. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. How many know the poor will benefit if they're hungry? But it won't benefit me. And I give my body to be burned and have not charity. He said, it profits me nothing. All right. Now, turn back to chapter 14. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, we said there is a pressing into God. Amen? Into that love of God. How many know that there's no option here? It's a command. You do not have an option here. It is a command to the church to press after the love of God. To follow after the love of God. Number 2, when you begin to prophesy, there are 2 things I believe that's ministered to people. Number 1 is the love of God. The love of God flows through that gift as well, out to others. And number 2, Jesus is ministered. And we know the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And how many know that Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll not speak of Himself, but He'll testify the things of me. He'll glorify me. Hallelujah. So Jesus will be exalted and the love of God will touch your life through that gift. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're to follow the fruit. Now, he said, but rather that you may prophesy. To prophesy means to be God's spokesman. You hear what the Spirit is saying and you relate it to the church. How many know that the gift of prophecy is to no avail, no good, if I just hear it and don't obey and give it forth what God is saying to me or through me? Or same with you. Nobody will be blessed. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. But God has given the gifts for one reason, to glorify the Lord and to build up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Seven times in this chapter, the word edification is mentioned. God wants the body to be edified, to be charged up, to be built up in the things of God. Amen. So he said here to us, but rather that you may prophesy. How many know that in the gift of prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, there is no revelation. It is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. But the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge can operate in conjunction with that simple gift, can it? Word of wisdom can come and word of knowledge can come. But we know, especially through the prophet's ministry, how many know this? Because a person prophesies does not make them a prophet or a prophetess. You know, you can see sometimes men who are prophets and ministering, and people try to step in that office, and how many know that they fall on their face, they hurt somebody else, and they hurt themselves. And if God hadn't called you to a ministry, don't try to get in it. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry now. Amen? Stay home and mow the grass. But do what, get in the body and do what God's called you to do. Now turn just a minute. I've got a scripture coming. Turn to Mark 13. Thank you, Jesus. We all have something to do, I'll tell you that. Mark 13. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 13, 33. Take ye heed. This is a warning to the church. Jesus is speaking. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man. How many know there's a man between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, the mediator? How many believe Jesus is a man? Amen. Hallelujah. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Now, he not only came from heaven, but he went back to the Father, didn't he? Who left his house. The house is the church. Now, this is a nice building God's given us to meet in, but how many know we are the house? But he left the house. In my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwelling places, many abodes. Didn't take Jesus 2,000 years to build a mansion, does it? But how many know it takes him a while to build something within you and me? Not because he can't do it, it's just because we're kind of stubborn. But it says here, notice, brethren, that he left his house and gave authority. He gave authority to his servants. Now, I believe the authority here represents the ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And first of all, they are love slaves. They are servants. Amen? How many know we're going to be chief and going to be, well, we're going to be the honcho or whatever you want to call it. We've got to be a slave first. Amen? And to every man his work. That's the body. And every man needs to know his work in the body. Notice, and commanded the porter to watch. Well, who's the porter? It's the Holy Ghost. How many believe he's putting things together? He is the watchman in you and me. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Jesus is the master of the house. He is the priest over the house. And Hebrews said also, he's the son over the house. Whose house are we? Amen? He's the master of the house. And notice he's coming at evening, midnight, crowing, cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to all, he said, I say, watch. A lot of God's kids are sleeping. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go back. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh what? That's the same word of Christ in you. The hope of glory, that mystery. Well, how many know when you begin to pray in the Spirit, God begins to reveal some mysteries within you? And one particular mystery is the Christ in you, the hope of glory mystery. Amen? Hallelujah. That's revealed to the holy apostles and prophets and also to the saints. Now, he said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. How many know we're not to be a show-off? This gift has been given to us to minister to our Heavenly Father. And how many know that is the Spirit of God ministering through you and talking to the Father? Amen? How many know the Father hears the Holy Ghost through you and me? And every prayer prayed in the Holy Ghost is heard and answered by God in His time, not in our time. How many know there's a hotline between Washington, D.C. and Moscow? And it was made with natural hands. And if it's ever severed, it's because man made it. But there's a hotline between earth and to our Father, and that is the communication of praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. If that hotline is severed, it's because you do it, I do it, God doesn't do it. Amen? And if we're not built up in the faith, don't blame God, blame ourselves. We're just not taking time out to get in our prayer closet or wherever we are and to pray in the Spirit as we should. Let's go back and see that. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So number one, you speak to God. Everybody say that. I speak to God. Hallelujah. Number two, your mind does not understand what you're saying. Aren't you glad sometimes? You might be saying, Lord, that's, you know, get me into a trial or a test or something, praying in tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. Three, you speak those mysteries or divine secrets as you pray in tongues. And four, you're edified, you're built up, you're charged up within. In the inner man. Amen? I mean, Paul said, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man must be renewed day by day. Hallelujah. And so one of the ways that we build up the inner man is by praying in tongues. Jude says, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, you build up yourself, praying in the Holy Ghost, on your most holy faith. Now, praying in tongues doesn't give you faith, but it stimulates that faith that's within you. It gets it working and active. Amen? I'll tell you, brother, we're not going to make it as an overcomer if we don't exercise faith. Amen? We need the faith of Jesus more than ever. Amen? The just shall still live by his faith. Now, notice in verse 3, but he that prophesied, he that prophesied. Now you say, well, is that for me? Well, turn down in chapter 14. Look in verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one. Now don't everybody do it at the same time. For you may all, how many believes that all means all? For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and that all may be comforted. Now there's a real learning in how to prophesy, isn't there? And yet there is a learning from what is prophesied. I mean, know many times the word of the Lord comes over you and you really don't know what God's saying. Amen? But as you seek the Lord, of course, He begins to unveil it to you. All right, verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet. I mean, know God's word teaches us against covetousness, greed, and lust. But here, the word says, brethren. How many is a brethren? How many is a brother or sister? Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, I was raised as a Baptist and went into the assemblies years ago, and then, of course, God called me out of that. But I saw I saw that verse right there, even in the assemblies. You know, they would get people filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet many would say you can only, speak in tongues if you have a certain feeling. Well, how many know we don't go by feelings? If I went by feelings, I wouldn't be here today. Amen? We're walking by faith, a lot of this, isn't that right? Without going by feelings or anything else. Hallelujah. Thank God for the feelings. Amen? So we can forbid people to pray in tongues that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me encourage you, if you have been filled, practice that gift. Exercise that gift. But when you say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, he didn't say you didn't necessarily feel anything. He just didn't do it. The unction, the anointing, where is it? He's in you. He's not taking a vacation. He's within you and me. Amen. Sure, we all can pray in tongues when we have the feeling. Amen. Sure, there are quickenings that come and go by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for those things. We give Him praise for it. But there are many times, amen, that we don't feel anything, but we get out there and start praying anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But He said, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, come back to verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, in tongues, we're praying to God. But in prophecy, he says here, we're speaking to man. We are speaking to man. And we know that the mind understands the language that's being said, if you're prophesying in your own language. Isn't that right? And thirdly, the mysteries that you prayed in tongues many times will come out in the prophetic word. And four, the church is edified. Hallelujah. How many like to come into a service and be edified? Now let me show you something. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now we're talking about this tongue-talking church right here in Corinthians. But it's no different in 1985 in a lot of places. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Well, God doesn't want that, does He? Huh? Now turn to Acts 19. I mean, here's one that's really staggering you. How many know the ecclesia, the church, is the one that's called out? Amen? Acts 19. Somebody will have to help me find this. Boy, I have a hard time finding the scripture. I don't have it marked in my... I got another Bible. That's dangerous. All right, verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another. For the assembly, and the word assembly is the word church. For the church was confused, and the more, the major part, knew not wherefore they were come together. That kind of sounds like 1985, doesn't it? But God wants us to know why we come together, and God, when we come together, wants us to be blessed and edified. Amen, in the faith. Hallelujah. All right, turn back to Corinthians now. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord says to us, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, verse 3, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. You know, the ministry of exhortation can be very strong, though, can it? From turning from wrong to right, from wrong to right, or from error to truth, you see, many times I've heard strong exhortations coming forth in the church, turning from those type things. And yet he said he will edify you, the prophecies will, and they will comfort you. And there are times that we must be comforted. Amen? And there's no greater comforter than the Holy Ghost. You know, your husband can comfort you, your wife, your children, but brethren, nobody can do it like God can do it. Amen? Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifieth himself. How many's been edified this morning? By praying in tongues. Don't raise your hands. How many hadn't? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Well, why isn't the church edified through the prophetic word? Because we're not edified individually by praying in tongues as we should be. Amen? And I don't care how mature you are, I don't care how much knowledge you know, I don't think you can get around by praying in tongues. Some of the greatest knowledge ever came to me is praying in the Holy Ghost. Things God gave me, I couldn't write hardly fast enough to get things down. Amen. Now, that's just not all the time. That's just different times, you see. But we need that. We need to exercise that gift in our life. I don't care how mature we are, how immature we are. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. How many know there's a lot of messages in tongues come forth that's never interpreted in church? Amen? But Paul said, I would that you all, you would prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except what? He interpret that the church may receive edifying. How many know two nickels make a dime? And years ago, I used to move mainly in tongues interpretation until, of course, the Spirit began to just give me straight prophecies. But the thing is, you know, tongues without interpretation, the person may have a good time praying to God, but the church is not edified. Isn't that right? And God's after edification. Now, let me tell you something about interpreting. Look down in verse 12 and 13 just a minute. Even so ye, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, and we should have a zeal for the gifts of the Holy Spirit with the fruit of God. Seek that you may excel to the what? Edifying the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now that can work both in your individual prayer life as well as in the assembly, of course. And let me say a word of warning in your prayer life. Be careful with that thought. Amen? How many know there's all kind of voices? But be careful. Make sure that the voice you're speaking through or by coming through you is the Holy Ghost. All right, that's a word of warning. Now, let me tell you what five ways God showed me how to interpret. Number one, a word or a sentence of words will be registered upon your spirit, upon your mind, however you want to say it. Actually, the word interpretation means to explain something thoroughly. It's not a word-for-word translation, but to explain something thoroughly. So God will give you a word or a sentence of words many times that will come to you. Now, how many know all the gifts operate by faith? God's not going to knock you down and make you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Now, sometimes you have more of a supernatural work, maybe at the first or second time. That happened to me. But you don't always have that. But after that one or two times, I had that strong urge by the Holy Ghost. Then after that, God would just nudge me inside, and I would, you know, have to stand and obey the Lord. All right, number two, you may see the words that you are interpreting. You may actually visually see the words that you interpret. Number three, you may see the substance that you're interpreting. You may see Jeremiah, you may see Moses, or you may see Jesus, whatever the interpretation is upon, you see. And number four, a lot of times you'll just have an inward unction. I remember the brother who taught me in Bible school, Brother Duncombe. He said under Howard Carter started the first Pentecostal Bible College in England. And God gave Brother Carter the principles of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he never changed those. And so one time, Brother Duncan was telling how that he was in the Springfield in the assemblies, big assembly meeting there, and some of the men who had wrote a lot of books on spiritual gifts. And so here comes a message in tongues, and nobody on the platform goes to the platform, and I mean to the microphone, and interprets. So he just stands by faith and gives it. Well, I've had that unction, just stand by faith and give an interpretation. But how many know I don't always do that, because I think it's good to see the body, different members of the body move out and do that. But there sometimes just stand in faith and open your mouth and the words come. God honors that. How many know God honors faith? Amen. And then number five, this is the way it's worked with me. There's an inward knowing. For instance, if I say, like I used to give a message in tongues once in a while, and while I was giving that message on the inside, I would have the inward knowing of what the subject matter would be about when I would interpret. It would always be on that subject that God was showing me. So, the Bible here tells us, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, right? But what my understanding is what? Unfruitful. So if we're praying in the spirit, or given messages in tongues, or even praying in our prayer life, we must pray that God will use us to interpret. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many's ever been in a service when two people popped up, started interpreting, one said one thing and one said another? Well, how many know that isn't strange? Because you got two personalities working there. Amen? And yet I've seen also two people pop up, say the same thing. One stop and the other go ahead. Amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're all not alike? Amen. Thank God. All right. Now, let me say this before I go any further. I mean, oh, we can praise and worship God in the Spirit, in tongues. Then there is the intercession that comes upon a fellowship or a group or an individual. Now, most of the time when an intercession will fall, like upon a service or even an individual like in a prayer meeting or whatever, probably 95% of the time, a prophetic word will follow that intercession. How many's ever seen that? Amen. Then there is the exhortation in tongues, with the interpretation. And then there is the rebuking. How many's ever rebuked the enemy in tongues? You pray, you lay your hands on a person. They're sick or they're tormented. And you begin to rebuke the enemy in tongues at times. So the rebuking doesn't require interpretation. The praise and worship doesn't require interpretation, right? And the intercession doesn't require interpretation. But the exhortation comes forth many times, which is actually a message, and of course it does. Now, how many has ever seen people stand up and give a tongue and nobody give interpretation? Anybody ever seen that? Well, either somebody didn't obey the Holy Ghost and would not interpret, or secondly, it could have been a praise and not a message in tongues. I've seen that happen. One time I was in a service preaching and three people stood up and gave three messages, and I gave three interpretations. Fourth one stood up, and inside I knew it was a praise. It was not a message. So I just said, let's all praise the Lord with her. And we didn't condemn her, criticize her, cut her down. Look down in verse 20. How many know people can get hurt if you're not careful? You know? How many's ever been in a church service and people say, well, do you have a question? Bring it forth, and you do, and you get cut down. That teaches you not to get up anymore. Amen. But how many know the one standing up here needs to use some wisdom and not cut down people? Amen. We're not out to hurt. We're out to edify. Now, that doesn't mean we can't warn and exhort, right? By the Holy Ghost. But we get to do it in the right spirit. Now, look down here, and I'll tell you, Brother Miller does a beautiful job here. Amen. How many would like to have this responsibility that's up on Brother and Sister Miller here? Amen. Now, turn with me to down in this chapter to verses 27, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Thank God we've done that today, haven't we? When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm. How many know that's really poetry if you really go into that word? How many's ever heard psalms given by the Holy Ghost? It's beautiful. Spiritual odes. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine or teaching, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If it doesn't edify, don't give it out. Next verse. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, I guess in turn. And let one interpret. And in my own life, at times, I used to give three messages right in a row. And I'd see others get up and give two or three. Right? So there may be six to nine messages given with interpretation in that service, but maybe just three people. But if you'll check the other translations out, I believe you'll come up with, he's dealing with two or three people, not just two or three messages. Then there are those who get too critical, and a fourth and, you know, person jumps up and they shut them down. They stop them. Maybe you've seen that. Hallelujah. All right. Sure glad I didn't say it. All right. Now, let's, what verse we stop in. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, again, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, which shows me there will be times when people are together, there is not an interpreter present. Amen? Now, many times he may be present, and he may just disobey God, too. How many know if a person's given a message in tongues and there's no interpreter and they know it? How many know it falls right back on them to interpret? Because God wants edification to come forth in church. Amen? How many's ever sat next to somebody and when they, they would keep all that in, and all of a sudden they'd bust out with a message in tongues and almost knock you down. Amen? Well, maybe you haven't, but I have. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. But look at this, and let him speak to himself. Anybody speak to yourself? And to God. So if there's no interpreter, and especially we're not moving in that vein, and we haven't really prayed about it, then we can still pray, of course, quietly to God in the Spirit. Amen? But the message would not edify the church. Amen? If it's just a message in tongues without interpretation. That's why we should covet to prophesy. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, turn back to chapter 12 just a minute. Now, how many know that in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 12, let's see this verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, just like your natural body has many members. Aren't you glad that your arm doesn't do what your brain does, or your foot, or whatever? Of course, our head tells us, our members, what to do. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is what? Many-membered body. Yes, it's the anointed one. Christ the head, of course, but Christ the body. I mean, no, we need a new revelation of what Christ means. Many people don't have it. We need a revelation of Christ. Christ the head and Christ the body. Amen? And we know Christ the body must sit with Christ the head. And Christ the head is coming to Christ the body. They're one, aren't they? You can't separate your head from your body, can you? In the natural. Now, he said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? Now, I want to ask you something. Who's Paul talking to here? Spirit-filled Christians. Amen? Hallelujah. And we know you met Jesus in the outer court. I said you met Jesus in the outer court. And you meet Christ in the holy place. And in the Holy of Holies, He becomes Lord of our life. I mean, no, Jesus had a beginning at Bethlehem as a babe. Many adore the child, but they ignore the man. Jesus had a beginning, but Christ had no beginning. He's always been. Amen? And you met Jesus in the outer court. They'll call His name Jesus, for He'll save His people from their sin. But we meet Christ in the holy place. And Paul here is speaking to Spirit-filled people. Hallelujah. Now, if you know Jesus, if you die, you go to heaven. Whether you're filled or not filled. But to press into the kingdom of God, you must be filled. And Paul said, we enter the kingdom by much tribulation. If you're going to face tribulation, you better be filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? When Brother Pittman died, I'm sure there was no question of whether he was saved or not. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that's probably saved and will make it in. But I don't want to barely make it in. I want to have a Spirit-filled life. How about you? Amen. Now, glory to God. But he said, as the body is one, hath many members, all of that one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. Where? In the one body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, when you come to Jesus, you accepted Him, the blood was applied to your life. You couldn't earn or buy Jesus. It was by grace, through faith, not of yourself, not of works or anything. And then we entered water baptism. How many know when you enter water baptism, you're making a covenant with God? Huh? And the water baptism leads you on into baptism in the Holy Ghost. And that leads you into the body of Christ. Now, I know many say you're in the body at salvation when you accept Jesus. But he's talking about moving into Christ. He's talking about a 60-fold realm. He's talking about a Spirit-filled life here. Amen? Turn to Galatians a minute. 3. Galatians 3. 26. Galatians 3, 26. For you're all the children. That word children there, filios, or some call it weos. It's sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, you didn't become a son when you accepted Jesus. You're a baby. Amen? Next verse. For as many of you as have been baptized where? Into Christ. Have what? So the evidence of being in Christ is that you're wearing Christ. He's the garment. He is the righteousness, isn't he? Now, you'll notice Paul didn't say all of you were baptized into Christ, did he? As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. For there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all in Christ Jesus. Now, I know some people say I'm a completed Jew. How many know that isn't really scripture? And I want to tell you something else. You're no longer a Gentile either. Don't say you're a Gentile. Amen? And then he said, if you be Christ and you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now, he said the proof that you're in the body of Christ, you've been baptized into Christ. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about spiritual baptism. He said you have put Christ on. Now, turn to Romans 13. Thank you, Father. Romans 13. Look at verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. How many know he's talking to us? For now is our salvation, and that I believe this is the full salvation, nearer than when we believe. How many know you had been saved, you are being saved, you shall be saved. You have been delivered, you're being delivered, you shall be delivered. You have been redeemed, you're being redeemed, you shall be redeemed. Spirit, soul, body, 30, 60, 100. Amen. Now, the night is far spent, the day's at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, that's the old man. And let us put on the armor of light, and that's the new man. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, and chambering, and wantonness, strife, and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. The proof of coming into the body is you're putting Christ on. And first of all, Christ comes in you, and he takes you into him. Amen? Put you on. That's a command, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh. Turn to Isaiah 30 just a minute. Isaiah 30. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. They're listening to somebody. God said, but not of me. But not of me. And that cover with a covering. And how many know we have to be careful how we teach covering? Don't you look to me to be your covering. I'm not your covering. He's your covering. But not of my, notice, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Your covering is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And if I don't have his covering, I don't want him covering. Next verse. That walk to go down into where? That's the world. Without his counsel, without his covering, Christians are going down to Egypt. That's the world. They have not asked at my mouth. They're doing their own thing. That's repentance. Oh, excuse me. That means that's dead work. They have not asked at my mouth. They're doing what they want to do. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Where's their trust? It's in the world. In the shadow of Egypt. In the world itself. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, God said, be your shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we're moving in confusion, we're in sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Chapter 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses. How many know horses speaks about strength? And here we're dealing with the strength of the world, or Egypt, for help and stay on horses, trust in chariots, because there are many, and horsemen, because they're very strong. I mean, the days come that God wants us to begin to believe God and trust God more than we've ever trusted and believed God. And if God has called you to a walk of faith, then walk that walk of faith, amen, without moaning and groaning about it, amen? Hallelujah. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord, God says. And then in verse 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. Oh, let's put it this way, they'll both fall in a ditch. Our trust is not to be in the world. And thank God we need his counsel today. We need his covering. And the Spirit will not lead you to the world. The Spirit will lead you to Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Back to 1 Corinthians 12. How many know the dead in Christ is going to rise first? The dead where? Is that what it says?
Amen.
Okay. Before we go there, let's turn over to, I had it. I'll get it back here in a minute. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen? All right, turn back to 1 Corinthians 12. Praise the Lord. And then hold your place there, because he's giving it back to me. Colossians. Hallelujah. We can lose it sometime, can't we? Colossians 1:25. Notice what Paul said. Wherefore I am made a minister. How many know that's some real overcoming? According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now look at verse 26. Even the mystery. Even the mystery. Now that's the same word of when you pray in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to a saint. Another scripture said it's made manifest to his apostles, holy apostles and prophets. And of course, they're bringing it to the saints. Next verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So this mystery has some glory, doesn't it? And where's this mystery at? It's in you and me, right? And of course, when you begin to walk, of course, into Christ, then you begin to walk into that glory. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Now look at this. Warning every man. Paul, an apostle, said, we warned every man, and what? Teaching every man in all wisdom, that's God's wisdom, that we may present every man, what? Mature, complete, full age, where? In Christ Jesus. God's plan is that we be made perfect in Christ. Amen? Verse 29, whereunto he said, I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Praise the Lord. And that was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 12. So it's important to know who Christ is. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. And I believe the dead in Christ are the first fruit company. And I won't go into that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, notice in verses 27. God said, look in verse 18 first. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. What pleases God? To place you and me in the body. Amen? And you'll please God by getting in your place in the body. Verse 28, allowing him to place you. Verse 27, rather. Now you're the body of Christ and your members in particular. You are somebody, you know. And you know, Jesus said, when the little woman with issue of blood touched him, he said, somebody touch me. In the eyes, maybe of the world, she was a nobody. And maybe you feel you're nobody, but you are somebody. God loves you. Amen? Verse 28, and God has set some, not everybody, God has set some in the church. First what? Apostles. How many know we need apostles today in the church? I don't mean just one apostle. We need many apostles. How many know that some people won't move unless they ask a certain apostle a certain thing? How many know that can become bondage? Or they go to just a certain prophet, or a certain teacher, a certain shepherd, a certain evangelist. We need all the apostles. Amen? An apostle is a sent one. How many know the apostle represents the mind of Christ in whatever degree the Lord's come in him? He represents the mind of Christ in the body. He points the way to the body to go, and of course, God's got the prophets to keep him straight. Amen? How many know they balance each other out? We need each other, brethren. No one man has it all. He's got a portion, but we need each other. Secondly, he said, notice what else he says there in that verse. Secondarily, prophets, the spokesmen of God, the men who have revelation, visions, the seers who see things in the Spirit. I mean, a lot of people don't understand prophets. Now, turn over the Old Testament a minute. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2020 vision. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Notice what the Scripture says, brethren. The last part of it. Believe in the Lord your God. How many are believers in God? Amen. So shall you be established. We need to be established, don't we? Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Turn that around. If you do not believe the prophets, you will not prosper. Now, we're talking about bringing truth. We're not talking about submitting to carnality. Amen? God never told us to follow carnality, did He? But believe the prophets, God said, and ye shall prosper. And I believe that's... the Bible said, he that receives a prophet in the name or the nature of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That's both spiritual and natural. One time Elisha was walking by this place, and this woman said to her husband, I perceive this man's a holy man of God. Let's make him a little room, put a light in there and a bed and all, other things. And he called her and he said, about this time next year, he said, you're going to have a son. She said, oh, don't deceive me. But she had the son. Amen. How many know prophets are hated? They're not understood. Two more scriptures on the prophets. Turn to Amos 3. How many know the prophets come to check your wall out? Is it Amos I want? 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Now listen to that. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. But, or unless He reveals His secret unto His servants the prophets. Now many are claiming to be prophets we know are not prophets. Amen? How many know if a man prophesies, he says, I'm a prophet, he prophesies, it doesn't come to pass. He's spoken presumptuously. How many know that to speak presumptuously in the Bible many times calls death? And it's dangerous to claim you're a prophet and you're God's spokesman and get up and speak presumptuously. I said it's dangerous. And right here, God said that He'll not do anything until He reveals His secrets to us, the servants, the prophets. Well, how many know the prophets have got to pray in some of those mysteries too, or those secrets, or in the Spirit? And God starts talking back, doesn't He? Now, turn over to James 5. James 5. Hallelujah. I believe God's raising some ministries up in this hour that we've never seen heard of. One time a lady told me, she said, Brother Tommy, she said, we want the ministries that will come that's not known because they'll preach the Word. Hallelujah. And I pray that God will raise up and bring out all the woodwork. You know, in Elijah's day, Elijah thought he was the only one, but God let him know there were 7,000 more. Amen? Amen. And God's got some Arnots, I guess you'd call them, that's going to come out in this hour with a word from God. How many know John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time of his showing? And he came before the Messiah. And in Revelation 11, as we talked the other day, the two witnesses, which is an army of God coming forth. It's not just two men. Although, we won't go into that. But nevertheless, it's an army of God. And, they're going to prophesy, aren't they? They are God's spokesmen. They are God's prophets. But look here in James 5. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You think you're waiting. God's waiting too, isn't He? God's waiting for fruit. And if I had time to go on today, which I won't, God's after the fruit. And the real fruit God's after is the man-child people. Amen? Amen. Until He receive what? The early? Let it rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the nature or the name of the Lord for what? An example of suffering, affliction, and endurance. If a man is a real prophet, he knows what it is to be afflicted. Can you say amen? And he's not one going around telling everybody he's a prophet. You don't have to tell anybody anything that exalt him. God will let people know what the man is. What does it matter? So long, we're a water boy, or whatever. Hallelujah. How many know tithes can throw people? Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So God has His ministers. Now back to 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're going to close out here in just a little bit. Got so much, I ain't even got started hardly. 1 Corinthians 12:28 again. He said, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. How many know a real teacher is one who interprets Scripture with Scripture and he makes sense? He's a mind engraver and he wants to make dents in your thick heads. He's also the little finger that gets in the ear and gets the wax out. And I'll tell you, teacher, get in your ear if you'll listen to it. And thank God for great teachers around the world. Thirdly, teachers. Then he said, after that, miracles. And the word miracles there, of course, is dunamis. I still believe in miracles, don't you? I still believe in the miracle work of the Lord Jesus. And thank God I believe in this hour we're going to see some miracles. I know of a man, I won't go into detail. This man saw the last great revival around the world. He had a vision of it. And he not only saw this great revival, but he saw people transported all around the world. Hallelujah. And I'll just stop here and I'll come back to that. There were two ladies in Tulsa praying. One's a prophetess and one, maybe she is too. But God already told her that time's coming that men will be speaking and all of a sudden they'll be gone. Be called out and God will show them. I don't know where He's going to take them. Don't know what He's going to do. But He's going to show them things. And when they come back, people will be waiting right there in their seats till the man comes back and have some answers he didn't have before for the church. And this man saw this revival and he saw it break out and he saw people transported all around the world. And he saw the dead raised. And he said in the vision, he said raising the dead be just like healing a headache. He saw that in the vision. But I tell you, to have that power with God, you got to walk a clean, holy life. Amen. And God can only trust certain people with that kind of power. And I'm not saying the dead's not being raised in other places of the world now, but I'm telling you, I don't believe we see anything yet. But I believe in the midst of great tribulation, we're going to see the greatest power of God come forth. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So we can see God has set some things in the church. Now, in this chapter 12, I'll just say this quickly before we close. There are three gifts of doing, there are three gifts of knowing, and there are three gifts of speaking. The three gifts of knowing is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The three gifts of doing are the gift of faith, working miracles, gifts of healings, plural. And three gifts of speaking or utterance, of course, is prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation. Touch your brother, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Amen. 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 Touch your Lord. Touch your my God. Touch your my God. Touch your. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Touch your Lord. Mighty God. Touch your my God. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Set us free, Lord. Yes. Touch your Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, my God. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. Yes, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. That's my sister, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, my God. Minister to her, Lord. Yes, Lord. Reach out to her, my God. Yes, Lord. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, my God. Oh, Rabasita Bakatorobosita Bakanda Bahaya. Name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Minister to her, Lord. Touch her.
That's my brother too, Lord. Reach out to him today, Lord. Strengthen him today, Lord God. Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Touch him today, Lord. Come strengthen them, Lord. Help them. Encourage them, Lord. Strengthen them today, mighty God. Live up for them, mighty God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, Lord.
And to your people, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for their lives.
Yes, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen.
The joy of the Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let's pray for her. Let's pray for her, then we're going to pray for Brother Pittman.
Pray. My question is that being says the Lord is leading me in deliverance. That it would be good if you and Brother James would not only
giving gifts
in that way.
He
would not do it.
Father, we lay hands on our sister.
Amen.
The Lord. We pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, the real anointing.
The anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
To the power of the living God come forth in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
And she shall stand forth to be a deliverance.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Pittman today. Yeah, we'll pray for him too. Yeah, we'll pray for him. We'll all get it today. Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise to Jesus.
I want to pray for Brother Pittman, and then we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for me.
Praise.
Amen. 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 Touch Brother Pittman today, Father.
Yes.
My God, in the name of Jesus, touch our brother new and afresh today, Father. Oh, my God, minister to him today. By the power of the living God, anoint him in these services, Lord. Use my brother, God. We thank you for him, Lord God. We thank you for this man, Lord, and the ministry in him, Lord. We bless him today, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Quicken him. Quicken him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Quicken him, my God. Quicken him, my God.
Thank you for doing it, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for it, Lord.
Yes, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen, Lord God. Yes, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Praise you. Father, we thank you for
the
blessing that you've given to us.
Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch my brother, Lord. Anoint him, God. Touch him, my God. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the power flow into him and through him, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord. Quicken him. Quicken him. Quicken him. Quicken him. Quicken him, Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, God.
That
yes, Lord.
That anointing
amen.
Shall reach forth unto
them. Amen.
Shall that and that
amen.
Lord,
yes, my God. Yes, my God.
Father, and we thank you for it.
Yes, my God.
We praise you for it, Lord. Thank
amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is Brother and Sister Banks.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
God, brother, I enjoy
God your bless you, brother. Sister.
My soul, my spirit, my body.
Amen.
Bless you,
brother. Amen. 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 Come right off here. We'll pray for all of you.
I remember you.
Yeah. Amen. Let's pray for them then.
Oh, and this is Brother Brian Hendricks from
praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Lord, touch our brethren today. Reach out to them, mighty God. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Touch them today. Touch them today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, minister, Father God. Minister, Father God. To my brethren. In the name. Oh. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, my God. Amen. Brother, let's give brother, let's pray for Brother Thompson.
Amen.
Touch our brother today, Lord. Touch him today, my God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, touch him today, Lord. Reach out to him, God. By the power, by the power, by the power. Oh, God. Oh, God, touch him today. In the name of Jesus, minister to him, Lord. Quicken my brother, Lord. Quicken him, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we lay hands.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yes, Father. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Amen. Oh, God. Thank you, 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 God. Amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Is your wife here?
Yes.
I want your wife, my wife, and Brother Pittman's wife to come. Is she going to say? Okay. I want the wives, my wife, and Sister Pittman, and Sister Thompson, to come, and let's pray for them. And who else you say?
Miller.
Sister Miller. Come on, Sister Miller. We're going to pray for all the ladies.
Hallelujah.
See, is your wife with you, Brother Pittman? She's not with you. Okay.
We'll send up
Sister Moody. Sister Moody, come back up here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's lay hands upon our lovely wives. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands out to these wives. Would you do that? Mighty God, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, touch them afresh and anew today, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, touch them, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, touch them, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, yes, God, strengthen them, Lord, quicken them, Lord God, quicken them, my God, oh, yes, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch them, Lord. Thompson. Okay. Touch our sisters, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God, your anointing to rest upon them, Lord. Your anointing to rest upon them in the name of Jesus. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, my God, minister life and victory and peace. Oh, in the name and the authority and the character of that name, Jesus. Amen. And amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Amen. Praise oh, amen. Amen.
The Lord is giving me a word for thee.
Good.
The Lord would say that I have gathered thee together.
Yes.
That it is a crucial hour. Mm-hmm. And I am uniting you, husbands and wives, as you've never been united before.
Thank you, Lord.
For you shall go forth in mighty power and mighty anointing.
Yes.
You women think you are not weak. For in me you are strong.
Yes.
Lean not unto your own strength, but know that I am the anointed one that dwells within you.
Amen.
And I am going to send you forth, not as two, but as one.
Hallelujah.
And you will bring my word, and you will declare the oracles that I shall put within thy mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall see that which you speak come to pass. Fear not.
Amen.
For I am going to make your faces hard against those that would oppose you.
Yes, Father.
Be not afraid, for I am your portion.
Mm-hmm.
I am your strength. And I have gathered you together, each one, that you might learn of me in this time. For I am going to reveal even a greater secrets unto thee.
Thank you, Father.
And I say to you, look unto me. Look unto me. For I have called you in this hour. And I have prepared you from the foundations of the world. That you would go forth and you would declare in this hour
yes.
the word of the Lord that is burning within thy soul.
Hallelujah.
So look not to yourselves, but know
yes.
that I am the God that dwells within you.
Thank you, Lord.
And men might look at you after the flesh, but I tell you, you are my mighty leaders and my mighty anointed ones. And you are going to stretch forth thy hand, and you are going to cause many to take rank
yes.
and to fall into the place. And you will march together as one mighty army. You shall gather on the left and you shall gather
yes.
on the right. And you shall see and you shall know, for the word of the Lord will be a two-edged sword
mm-hmm.
even in thy mouth. And you shall see the glory of the Lord come about. So be thou faithful this
yes.
day. Be thou faithful to the call and the gifts and the ministries that lie within
oh,
me.
God.
And you shall see all that I shall speak come to pass.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.